So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down. When I chat with people about why they come to church, they often say to me, oh, well, I'm not quite sure, but it helps me unwind. It helps clear my mind. I come to find peace. And I hope that you do too. When we are here, in every service, we say the Lord's Prayer. That is just a standard in the Church of England. We always say the Lord's Prayer in every service. And it's interesting, when I meet funeral families, and I say, you know, we're in this meeting, we'll talk about what we're having in the service, and they immediately say, I want the Lord's Prayer. I say, yes, of course we'll have the Lord's Prayer. There's no worry about that. Let's talk about other things. But when we say these words, it's quite easy for us to rush through, isn't it? Because we know it so well. And yet, each petition in the prayer is important. The first half of the prayer focuses on God, and the second half on human needs. Lead us not into temptation. We say it every day, don't we? And it's important, as temptation is all around us. And we probably all have different weaknesses. And you know, how hard is it to resist some of these things? You know, this as well. Delicious. I'm sure you've heard this expression. I can resist anything but temptation. It's familiar, isn't it? But can anyone remember where it comes from? Is it from one of the Gospels? No, it's not, is it? It comes from Lady Windermere's fan, Oscar Wilde wrote it, in a light throwaway comment in a play about Victorian values and so on. Manners. It was all about that. And of course, we know that temptation can be overwhelming. In the reading from the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, we heard him being troubled, really troubled. He was really stressed, wasn't he, by knowing what was right and yet going astray. Paul doesn't tell us what his weaknesses were. And we don't need to know, do we? That was a very personal thing for him. But he was very distressed with himself because he kept falling short again and again. Paul acknowledges that it's a problem of living in the flesh, even though he delights in God's word, in his innermost self. I'm not sure what it says on that icon. I must admit, I didn't look it up. But I expect it's an extract from one of his letters. Jesus saw a similar problem with the people around him, that they were caught out by all the things going around them. They were always having a moan about something. I used to know a lady, she's been dead a few years now, she used to say, people do like to complain, don't they? And she was so right. These people were complaining about John the Baptist and his way of life, struggling to see that God was speaking to them through him, and the same with Jesus. And there's still a lot of complaining around today, isn't there, in the press, amongst friends and families. And it can bubble up in church life, in the wider church, if we're not careful. There's another way in which we don't always accept the help that is on offer to us, so we end up doing not what we should do, or what we think we should do, but doing something else. And that's sometimes the inability to accept help. And I mean, when my little boy was learning to talk, he said, I do it myself. But when we grow up, you know, we have to learn to accept help. And those people complaining about John the Baptist and complaining about Jesus, they weren't accepting the help that was on offer. So I think sometimes we have to pause as well and think, well, yeah, I might rather do it my own way, but someone's trying to help me. Let me stop and accept that help. And that might be God speaking to us in a different way. When Jesus reveals himself to us, he always has and will. He carried our burdens and will always do so when we ask. In a little Lent book called The Things He Carried, Stephen Cotterill meditates on all that Jesus carried during Holy Week. The crown of thorns, the weighty crossbeam, the ridicule of the soldiers and the people, and a broken heart. Even so, he invites all of us with heavy burdens. Perhaps we feel our burdens are completely overwhelming, or maybe we feel that the little troubles that we have are too small to be significant to God. But that isn't right. He invites us all to lay our burdens, physical, mental, spiritual, all of them, to lay them on him and to find rest. It does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? But that isn't how God wants us to feel. When we accept this invitation and find new life in Jesus, where carrying his yoke is easy and light, then we find peace. It's interesting, he uses the yoke as an image. It's another agricultural one, isn't it? He used so many agricultural images, remembering that a yoke would not really have been very light for a beast of burden pulling a plough or a cart or anything. And of course, the stoles worn by priests are to remind us of this very passage of Scripture. But the invitation and the promise is for all who lay their burdens on Jesus, including St. Paul, of course, who understood that only Jesus could rescue him, can only rescue us from inner turmoil. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, St. Paul wrote. Indeed. Amen.